This podcast is supported by The RealReal. Meet Christine. She loves shopping. And this is the sound of fashion overload. Too many fabulous things, not enough space. So Christine started selling with The RealReal.
I've always loved collecting designer pieces. Gucci bags, Prada heels. But my style keeps evolving. Selling with The RealReal? Game changer. I earn more, and they do everything.
Seriously, just drop off your items or schedule a pickup. We handle the photos, descriptions, pricing, even shipping. You just sit back and watch your items sell fast to our 38 million members.
And I get peace of mind knowing I earn more selling with The RealReal than anywhere else.
Exactly. This? That's the sound of your closet working for you. The RealReal. Earn more, save time, sell fast. And right now, you can get an extra $100 site credit when you sell for the first time. Go to TheRealReal.com to get your extra $100. TheRealReal.com. That's TheRealReal.com.
Welcome to Shift Talking, a podcast where we explore the art and science of behavior change. I'm your host, Davina Hain, a mental health coach and founder of A Steady Space. Join me as we discuss actionable tips, inspiring stories, and expert insights to help you create lasting change once and for all. Now, let's get to the shift talking. Hello and welcome back to our second episode of Shift Talking. I'm Davina Hain, as always, and I'm so just honored that you've chosen to join me here today. So last episode, which was our first introductory episode, was surrounding all of what A Steady Space is, what Shift Talking is, and how it came to be. We also went over a bit of the Shift framework, which is really setting the tone for what this podcast is really going to be about now, and also how much room it gives it to evolve down the line. If you didn't catch that first intro episode, I of course suggest that you do so that you can really get more rich data into who I am, where I came from, why I'm even doing this, and how you might benefit from tuning in. And if this is your first time joining us, welcome, and I'm really glad that you're here. The SHIFT framework is really an acronym for the entire SHIFT process that I'll get into in a second. But first, it's really just about embracing the shifts that we have to engage in within our lives. We are shifting perspective, mindsets, our relationships, and really just allowing for new and different things to come to mind and new and different ways of behaving within our day-to-day existence. The SHIFT acronym stands for Self, Healing, Innovation, Fortitude, and Transformation. So each episode, the next, handful of episodes are going to be going into each of those acronyms specifically and giving a more broad overview and sometimes even a deep dive into how each one represents the different phases that we kind of have to go through when we're going through any sort of personal development, behavior change work. So today's is going to be around our S, which is our self, and most importantly, self-awareness. So self-awareness is going to be the foundation of any emotional intelligence, any personal growth, behavior change, anger management, stress management, emotion management work that we do. It gives us the power to recognize the triggers that spark our anger and other intense emotions. We have to be able to understand what situations, thoughts, and feelings tend to set us off so that we can take charge of our responses. We step in before things escalate, and are able to reflect afterward on what we've learned, what we did well, what we did poorly, and then, of course, be able to, know how to expand on that and actually aid in our own prevention of our own conflict and suffering. Self-awareness isn't just about controlling emotions, shoving them down, overpowering them. It's about understanding them well enough to then transform them. Instead of letting our anger or stress dictate our actions, this gives us a moment to pause, consider, and choose a more constructive path. It's a mindful approach, not only helping prevent conflict, but also foster healthier, more empathetic interactions with others. The beauty of self-awareness is that it goes even deeper. It is the key to unlocking our potential, allowing us to identify strengths we may not see and recognize patterns that hold us back. When we engage with ourselves at this level, the work we do becomes lasting and meaningful, far beyond the glorified band-aid that we find ourselves constantly seeking and then shocked when they don't work out. In today's episode, we'll explore how cultivating self-awareness can transform our lives, reduce stress, and help us connect more deeply with ourselves and those around us. This isn't taking a self-critical approach or even the this is who I am, take me or leave me bullshit. It's not dissecting your behaviors and regrets. It's understanding why they were engaged in at all. What were we looking to achieve, and how can I determine better ways of getting those needs met? And here's what's wild is that when polled, 95% of the population will report that they are self-aware. Upon further research, what we've learned is that only 10 to 15% of the entire population would qualify as self-aware. And within self-awareness is internal self-awareness and external self-awareness. And that study, this research that's being done, hasn't even differentiated among that 10 to 15% who actually has which one or both. I can be internally aware and not externally aware, or vice versa, but as long as I have the skills and the tools for one, I can likely apply them over into the other. But how crazy is that? How wild is that? How unexpected is that? That the inverse is true. Instead of maybe one of us not being self-aware in any given group of 10, it's actually only one, maybe two, that actually are. I really share this to help us get a realistic image of what expectations we have for ourselves and for others. We tend to spend so much time dissecting other people's behaviors, judging them, diagnosing them, doing all of these other things about other people, assuming that I'm self-aware enough, that I understand myself well enough, that I actually don't need any work. I don't need any of the spotlight to fall on me. I've got it. I'm totally good. Everyone else is the problem. And when it comes to what the research is showing me, I call bullshit. That's clearly not the case. And if it were, I fundamentally believe that our world would exist with much less suffering within it. This is why the entire foundational part of the programming of any of the personal development work, and of course the SHIFT framework, focuses only on us first. We have to be able to know ourselves well enough in order to actually adopt the changes that we're looking to make. We're not going into the quick fix, glorified band-aid thing of incorporating new and different things only for me to fall flat again, because I actually don't understand why all of the other times that I've incorporated these strategies, they haven't stuck. How do I even know that I'm working on the right thing? How do I even know that I want to excel in one area versus the other, but what if those all exist within a blind spot of mine? You are the key. You are the foundation to everything else that will happen. And if we don't recognize the role that we carry in our own suffering, we will continue repeating patterns, behaviors, relationships that don't serve us. So if we can gain some self-awareness or enhance our existing level of self-awareness, then I can know, we can know, that the work that we're doing next is going to be solid because the foundation upon which it's being built is actually sound. It's been thought and measured and considered. It's that whole measure twice, cut once thing, right? It's making sure that I know myself well enough, that I'm aware of myself, that I'm recognizing where my blind spots are, where I could use some guidance and help, where I'm just missing the mark. And then pivoting that into actually believing in myself enough to make the changes and experience this level of transformation that we've all been seeking. If you're here listening, it's likely because you're sick of your own shit. You've recognized that you've gotten a new planner in order to get more organized, but then didn't get more organized. And where the fuck did I even leave that planner? It's, oh, I hired this personal trainer because they're going to keep me accountable and I'm finally going to get fit and healthy and feel really good about myself. But then it's a year later and like that, I wasted that money and now I feel even worse than I did before. It's creating systems without understanding why the underlying system isn't working. We are constantly seeking quick fixes. And the way that I oftentimes describe this is like remodeling a kitchen. We have to go through and figure out what's working and what's not. Typically, if we look at it and we're just like, damn, like there's a leak. I hate the functionality of this. This really just doesn't work. It's not conducive to the way that I like to cook and the way that I like to keep my things organized. But I will get caught up in choosing the new color and the new hardware and making sure that it looks really cute and pretty on the outside. But am I actually making sure that its structure has integrity? And the same goes for us. We focus so much more on presenting in a cute way and looking as if I've done the work, but not actually digging in deep to make sure that I'm doing so in an authentic, sustainable way. All of this is what self-awareness can provide us. And we have two different types of self-awareness. We have the internal and the external, more situational. The internal is understanding me, my thoughts, my beliefs, my value system, my desires, where they come from, how they came to be, without judgment, but instead out of curiosity, recognizing how I've been affected by the world, how I experience the world, what triggers me, what causes deeper reactions within me. What do I need to do differently in order to get to this life that I actually enjoy and feel proud to live within? Being self-aware means being in tune with your emotions, feelings, state of mind, motives, desires. It's about knowing who you actually are. And that's why I get so...
This podcast is supported by The RealReal. Meet Christine. She loves shopping. And this is the sound of fashion overload. Too many fabulous things, not enough space. So Christine started selling with The RealReal.
I've always loved collecting designer pieces. Gucci bags, Prada heels. But my style keeps evolving. Selling with The RealReal? Game changer. I earn more and they do everything.
Seriously, just drop off your items or schedule a pickup. We handle the photos, descriptions, pricing, even shipping. You just sit back and watch your items sell. Fast. To our 38 million members.
And I get peace of mind knowing I earn more selling with The RealReal than anywhere else.
Exactly. This? That's the sound of your closet working for you. The RealReal. Earn more, save time, sell fast. And right now, you can get an extra $100 site credit when you sell for the first time. Go to TheRealReal.com to get your extra $100. TheRealReal.com. That's TheRealReal.com.
Caught up by this thought process of, well, this is just the way that I am. Take me or leave me. You should love me just the way that I am. And if you don't, then you're the problem and you knew what you signed up for and you knew that this is the way that I am. As if you are the exception to the evolutionary rule. Are we done? Have we perfected humanity to the point that you are the exception, that you don't actually have to evolve and change over time in order to help our entire existence, our entire, like all of humanity as we know it, get to something bigger and better? You're done. You are this Adonis that we should match all other humans to. And I know that that's sassy and I understand how that could come off as not cute, but seriously, like when we really think about this, why is it that so many of us, what is it about us that makes us think that we are above it? And I will tell you from where I'm standing, it's a lack of self-awareness. It's focusing more on external factors than internal. And if you are resistant to doing the change, if you do expect other people to just take you as you are, what is that? Where does that come from? What tells you that that is a perfectly valid and logical and reasonable and acceptable way of viewing the world? Not in a sassy way as if I'm quizzing you and you have to answer, but instead of where does that come from? Help me understand, where is the resistance coming from in that taking a look at ourselves and being open to recognizing how we affect the world, how the world affects us, and knowing us well enough that we don't lose control of ourselves when we're upset, how is that the weaker thing? How is that the problem? How is somebody else holding a mirror to you and you not liking the reflection bad on them? If you're not a fan of the reflection, if it's not as cute or as clear and crisp as you'd want it to be, then let's not be upset at the person who held the mirror to you and instead work on yourself and work on how to make that look cuter. We can't read the label from inside the jar, but what we can do is recognize that I'm in a jar at all and that my image, my sight is limited. The other type of self-awareness is external, more situational. And this is really just understanding how I impact the world and how I'm viewed within the external world. If I can take the skills that I have for my internal self-awareness and apply them externally, then that will allow for me to empathize more deeply with other people, will likely be able to navigate conflict in a cleaner, more collaborative way. It will allow for us to act in prevention and actually be supports for one another, as opposed to the typical model of I disagree with you and therefore we're enemies. To practice this, we would create new and safe open environments where people can be honest with us, where we can solicit feedback. This will allow for me to be more empathic. It'll allow for me to not just tell others, well, if I were you, this is what I would do, but instead it's taking in their background, right? Like whenever we use that, like, I would never do that to you, or if I were you, here's what I would do. It's from my experience of my upbringing, how I've been affected by the world, of my values, beliefs, core competencies. It's being viewed through my image, through my values, passions, aspirations, reactions, thoughts, feelings, behaviors, strengths, weaknesses. It's not taking into consideration theirs, who they are, the experiences that they had that then shaped all of these parts of themselves. And if we can do both, then we can actually have this perspective and give them clear guidance based on their values, based on who they are. We can give feedback to others and know that I'm not just projecting or displacing my own shit. That when people come to us and say, hey, I need your advice on something, hear me out. This is what I experienced with XYZ and here's how I managed it. What do you think of that? That we can know that we are giving them this feedback in a way that's clear and concise for them. I'm doing my own work so that then I can help work for others. And the biggest rub I notice people have with doing this work is that it feels like, okay, so I'm going to do all of this internal work and you are going to benefit. It can feel like I'm being forced into doing something that only serves others. But what we fail to recognize is that so much of our hardship, so much of our suffering is self-made. And it's self-made by accident. It's unintentional, but the impact still stands. So when I tell you that you are going to benefit from this first and foremost, I mean it. And it will feel harder for us, and it will, you know, kind of inspire a case of the fuck it's and saying, nah, it's fine. It's good just the way that it is. I'm fine. Like I'm good where I'm at. It's enough. I don't want to do any more of it. But realistically, the time is going to pass anyway. And it's up to us how we want to spend it. I want to share with you a quote that was really powerful for me when I heard it. And it is something that I repeat to myself probably a handful of times every month. And it is, the degree to which a person can grow is directly proportional to the amount of truth they can accept about themselves without running away. And that was so powerful for me for two reasons. One, because, yeah, that makes complete and utter sense that if I can't understand where, like, what is my fuel, then of course I'm not going to be able to move forward and propel myself forward, right? The other part, though, is about accepting ourselves without running away. And that is where I think we have the most amount of friction and resistance when we're doing this work. We have a tendency to think that if I become self-aware, then I will have to see all of these things and find a way to like them. I will have to either just deeply agree with everything that I've ever done or deeply disagree with who I am at my core. And this is about doing both. Self-awareness and self-acceptance does not mean that I give myself a pass. It doesn't mean that I agree. It really just means that I can see these patterns and behaviors within myself and accept that they exist. I don't accept and like them. I just recognize that they live within me and that I have engaged within them throughout my lifetime. We have to be able to split our behavior from who we are at our core. And without that ability, we will lead into such self-deprecation. We will be crippled by the idea of self-forgiveness because then it's kind of the same thing as acceptance, right? Is that if I forgive myself, then I'm giving myself a pass and that's just like the easy way out. And that's the cowardly way of doing things. But instead, this is about separating who I am at my core, what my intentions, my values are, and pulling those away from what I did with them. And maybe what I did with them was poor. Maybe what I did with them was not super helpful and it actually caused harm. Unintentional harm, sure, and the impact still happened. And if we can do that for ourselves, imagine what we could do for other people when we aren't equating their behavior with who they are at their core. So we want to be able to accept ourselves without running away. And I don't know what Leland Vandewall, the person credited with this quote to my knowledge, meant by the running away part. What I conceptualize that as is running into all of these vices or running away from ourselves. And this can be drinking, drugging, sex, love, hopping from relationship to relationship, job to job, city to city, overworking out, underworking out, binge dieting. It's all of these things that we do in order to numb ourselves out from the experience of being in the present. And that's the running away, right? It can be running away and toward these other things that will numb me, or it can be running toward people who will just not question me, who won't force me to take a look within this metaphorical mirror of my internal processes and demand better and encourage me to demand better for myself. And this quote is something that I think is so powerful, and it perfectly encompasses how much friction we can experience within this work and how we can continually get in our own way. If I know I want to be making some changes, but I can't stop shitting on myself for needing to take them at all, or I'm not doing the work to become self-aware enough to understand why I'm engaging with them, I will run the fuck away as many times over as I need to in order to not have to sit within that discomfort. What we know within that research, right, is that self-awareness improves our opportunity for emotional regulation. It improves our self-concept, which is our self-awareness.
This podcast is supported by The RealReal. Meet Christine. She loves shopping. And this is the sound of fashion overload. Too many fabulous things, not enough space. So Christine started selling with The RealReal.
I've always loved collecting designer pieces. Gucci bags, Prada heels. But my style keeps evolving. Selling with The RealReal? Game changer. I earn more and they do everything.
Seriously, just drop off your items or schedule a pickup. We handle the photos, descriptions, pricing, even shipping. You just sit back and watch your items sell fast to our 38 million members.
And I get peace of mind knowing I earn more selling with The RealReal than anywhere else.
Exactly. This? That's the sound of your closet working for you. The RealReal. Earn more, save time, sell fast. And right now, you can get an extra $100 site credit when you sell for the first time. Go to TheRealReal.com to get your extra $100. TheRealReal.com. That's TheRealReal.com.
Our self-esteem and our self-identity, and it allows for more positive behavioral outcomes. If we can have self-awareness and work within that and the self-concept, we can self-forgive, we can believe in ourselves enough to engage in positive, lasting behavior change. We can have more positive social interactions and pursue our goals. We are less likely to engage in substance use and/or the neglect of our personal health, and we can promote more consistent behavior over time. All of these things are going to allow for us to achieve goals. And when I use goal achievement or set goals or attain goals or whatever kind of language I use around goal setting now and in the future, what I want you to really recognize about me is the fact that the goals that I'm going to be placing here and emphasizing and encouraging you to place for yourself and achieve for yourself are going to be internal. This has nothing to do with like outside external successes of, you know, professional, financial, whatever. This is about us being sure that I can kind of scope out my goals. I can set them up. I can dissect them. I can make sure that they make sense and I can achieve them internally and then take that efficacy and place it external. When we focus so much on what goals we want to achieve without asking where they're coming from and or what about them is so important, we are constantly going to be chasing things that are not going to get us where we want to go because we can't even tell what it is that we want. So within those internal goals, one of the main things that I always suggest is recognizing what our triggers are. And we use these things often, right? Like we hear about triggering situations, avoid them, avoid triggering people and all of these types of things. And what are our triggers? And don't stop there. What is it about that triggers me? what happens to my physiology? What happens within my body when this situation presents? How can I understand more about where that comes from so that I'm not just leading this life of avoiding shit that makes me uncomfortable? How can I know what these are so that when these triggers present, I don't act outside of myself? We feel out of control because we are giving up control. So we have to recognize what these triggers are for these bigger reactions so that then we can do some of that healing, which is the H in our shift, of course, that will allow for me to still maintain my sense of self even when presented with these triggers. We have to understand what our personal emotional responses are. What is it trying to tell me? What is my body trying to tell me? How can I really work to fix something if I don't actually understand where it's coming from? I can't come up with solutions unless I've determined what the actual problem is. This can deeply affect the people around us so poorly. And when I'm talking about this, I more so mean like those within our immediate kind of sphere, our closest friends, our family, our children, our loved ones. How can the way that I react to triggers and what responses I have emotionally affect the others around me poorly? And inversely, how can the good that I do within myself have positive effects on the people around me? So now that we know kind of what self-awareness really is, we have to know how to generate and or improve it if we already have kind of this baseline level of it. And so we have to work toward practical steps. This is where mindfulness, breathwork, meditation, journaling, these types of things are going to come into play. But first is really just this overall willingness to check in with ourselves. That quote that I shared earlier was about accepting ourselves. And one thing that has to come first is just learning about it and then being able to accept it. And so the only way that we can really learn about things with curiosity and a genuine desire to understand is by not just asking why. When we start questions with why, it immediately implies dissent. It immediately implies something that you did wrong, and therefore we need an explanation, and that explanation better make enough sense to excuse it. And that's not what we're doing here. We aren't trying to pick you apart and focus on all the shit that you have done wrong and all the ways that you suck, that you're broken, that you are just never going to be this person that you want to be. You just cannot get it right. You are just not good enough. That is not what we're doing here. Self-awareness isn't just about recognizing my faults. It's about being able to recognize all of it and parse out our benefits, our strengths, the things that really work well for us and because of us, from the parts that we could benefit greatly from improving. It's about taking all of it, not just the self-deprecation shit. So we want to ask what instead of why. What, where, how, those types of things. And we want to avoid why as much as possible. Instead of saying, why did I do that? Why do I keep doing this? Right? There's a part there that's just so accusatory and judgmental. Instead, we say, what is having me continue doing this? What am I looking to achieve from this? How could I go about getting my needs met in a different way? What about me tells me that I should continue within this pattern? What cycles do I constantly find myself falling within, and what can I do about them? All of this self-awareness is going to be rooted in a genuine desire to learn and understand myself. We have to recognize that the emotions and feelings we have are not facts, they are messengers. They are attempting to deliver a message our body is sending us. So while what we're feeling in that moment is very true and real, the reason why and what it's actually trying to tell us is likely getting lost in the muck. We often say that your message is getting lost in your mess, right? Because we can't know what we're actually feeling. We're either leading so surface that it's like, okay, well, my feeling, this is how I felt, and you can't deny that, and that's valid, and therefore you're the asshole. Or we're trying to dig in, but in a way that's not actually going to help us. We will dig in deeper in order to find why we are the problem or why they are the problem, but not what the underlying actual problem is. When it comes to the triggers that we have and what we do about them, we have to be able to recognize all of these things at once. That I'm having an emotional experience, the feelings that I'm having as a result of that emotional experience, what are they trying to tell me? And then I can determine what to do about them. Listen to your body. When we're wanting to cultivate more self-awareness, we have to be willing to listen to our body and what it's trying to tell me. Oftentimes, we will be upset before we even realize it. Our body will show signs of upset before we even pick up on it. Your heart starts racing, your palms get clammy, you kind of start sweating, you breathe more shallow breaths, right? Like there's so much that happens before we're even consciously aware of them. So we have to listen to what our body is telling us. And again, with curiosity, not ridicule, not judgment. I can guarantee you, you will not hate yourself into making long-lasting change. It doesn't work. That is white-knuckling it all the way through till when? If you can't stand yourself and you expect other people to be able to stand you, that's not how it works. You will constantly be externalizing your self-worth, externalizing the validity of your experiences. But if you can become more self-aware and accept the things that you're learning about yourself and continue to carry what makes sense for you and what makes you proud of yourself and leave what doesn't. And while that sounds really simple, it's not easy, but that's what we do with it. I know all of this really good, beautiful things within me. And I know these other things that work against me. I sabotage myself. I'm self-critical. I take things personally when I don't necessarily need to. I can present aggressively, like whatever these things might be, you accept them about yourself. You dig in deeper into figuring out the what and the how and the where these things came from, and you just allow for them to exist, period. Before you even have to do anything about it, we just have to sit with them and just recognize their existence and say, okay, some of this may not be ideal, and what can I do about it? In addition to checking in with yourself, I want you to also start checking in with others. Solicit feedback from people, especially who you respect and value and trust. We want to be able to share with other people what we're working on so that one, we'll come up on their radar and they'll know where to look. And two, so that the efforts that we're putting in can be seen and recognized and likely make it farther. We oftentimes try to change certain parts of ourselves without sharing with the people close to us that we are going to be doing this at all. So when people start setting boundaries, they're perceived as rigid and controlling. But instead of recognizing why I'm setting the boundary at all, where that comes from, what I'm looking to achieve, and sharing that with the people closest to us. Like, hey, I've recognized within myself that I have a tendency to people please. And with that comes a resentment that I carry for myself. And then that also trickles into a resentment that I carry for you. And that's not your fault. I realize that I'm holding these things against you without your knowledge. And when you ask me for something or a favor, whatever that looks like, and I say yes, I immediately regret that internally. And I've also noticed that that part is affecting our relationship in a really crummy way. And so what I'm going to be doing is doing more work on myself to figure out what it is that makes me say yes right away, why it is that I have this like deep fear of being disliked or people viewing me as like not a helper, and figuring out new and different ways that I can keep you close and I can still be close with you without kind of getting into these tendencies that I get into that then make me distance and like isolate away from you. Some of these might look like XYZ, right? Like we can explain to others what it is that we're looking for. But if you were previously people pleasing, talking to myself, and then you pivoted into setting boundaries, it's going to be really uncomfortable. And if we only focus on what we're going to be doing differently instead of where that comes from and how that could benefit me, and then also take it a step further to share with others what I'm planning to do, it might just work against us. And then we might get that confirmation bias that I shouldn't do this work at all, or the people around me are all entirely the problem. So we want to be able to solicit feedback in ways that are descriptive, in ways that give direction to the people around us. And even when we are getting feedback from others, we still take that with a grain of salt. Because realistically, 10 to 15% of the population are the only ones who are self-aware. The vast majority, your 8, 9 out of 10, are going to be projecting and displacing their own shit onto you and making it seem like it's your problem. So you take your self-awareness and pair that with their feedback. And you determine what lands, what doesn't. What resonates, what doesn't, what am I going to carry, and what will I absolutely the fuck not? Their feelings and emotions are also not facts. They are also their own messengers, and their work is to determine what they are trying to tell them to. Some other ways of building our self-awareness are going to be journaling, meditation, breathwork. So foofy as fuck, I know. They also have like really bad reputations in the world of like what this is actually meant to do. So I want to start with journaling because it really allows for us to kind of purge some of this energy and give us some opportunity to give these things life that we oftentimes just quote unquote let go or just shove down or holster for later as, you know, ammunition against somebody else. When we're journaling, it's allowing for us to take pen to paper and be intentional about what our inner processes look like. And this isn't like the Dear Diary, today I saw Samantha and we... No, this is like, this motherfucker keeps testing me. I keep falling into this shit. Why am I tolerating this bullshit behavior? Why are they doing this to me? I cannot fucking stand them. Like, it really isn't just this like foofy, really cleanly written and like, let me decorate it and get a little lock for it. It's instead like, how can I purge the fuck out of what I'm experiencing and what I am having a hard time managing? And on the inverse, how can I write down and take dedicated time to point towards parts of my life that are going well? That's all gratitude is, but gratitude is like lumped up together within these like really foofy kind of mentality views. Journaling really allows for us to get these things out and really start organizing what our thoughts look like. Sometimes they'll be kind of ragey and angry and like aggressive and putting everything out there. Other times they'll be somewhere in between. But it's all about just leading with this level of curiosity of what is my experience? What are these things telling me? One of the first prompts that I suggest that you start with is to describe yourself without mentioning marital status, education, job title, these like more external surface level things. And what would you say? How would you introduce yourself without including these more surface level facts about you? When was the last time you spent time with yourself? That's usually why people have a harder time with meditation and breath work, right? Is because we don't know how to just sit. We don't know how to attempt some calm. We are so busy running away from ourselves that then being forced to sit with ourselves is so deeply uncomfortable. And the meditation is really finding ways to regulate our mind. And breath work is finding ways to regulate our physiology, our nervous system. And meditation isn't about just like not thinking about anything. Meditation is really just about how can I focus on one thing at a time? How can I quiet the noise of all the background and focus in on just this one? And once I do focus in on that, how long can I keep that focus? And as we master meditation, as we master our ability to focus on one thing at a time, you will notice so much of your life improve. And it's nothing crazy. My clients start with like 5-10 minutes a day. And it doesn't even have to be like this dedicated space of this tranquil music and doing a whole deal. It can just be downloading the Balance app, which is amazing. Not paid to say this. It's a free year that they're giving everyone. And they have such great, quick 5-minute check-ins. It'll also give you opportunities to listen to meditations before bed or upon waking. It's really incredible, but allowing yourself, giving yourself 5 to 10 minutes a day to sit with yourself and spend time with yourself and focus your thoughts is going to take you so fucking far. It's wild. This is an incremental thing, not an all at once. This isn't a crash diet. This is a lifestyle change that we're going to be doing here. The breath work is about our nervous system. So we want to be able to use breathing techniques that will allow for our bodies to kind of regulate over time. So when we're in this hurried existence and we're not self-aware and we are just running away from ourselves, it is going to keep our nervous system within a constant state of dysregulation. And that's why you'll notice yourself getting completely pissed the fuck off over one quote unquote small thing. It's because our nervous system is so dysregulated that it really only takes one or two minor inconveniences to have us want to scorch the earth. And within the show notes, I will include a resource, if you're interested, that goes over each of the breathwork techniques, as well as when to utilize each one. And it won't be, of course, a full comprehensive list, but it's enough to kind of get us started. I don't want you guys getting, you know, Google master's degrees in emotional regulation and trauma and sense of self. That's not what we're doing. I'm trying to figure out new ways for you to dip your toe in without feeling so overwhelmed that you feel the need to run away. So much of the work that we're going to be doing in here is going to be relying on you. You are the only person who has any control over yourself, and you don't have control over others. You have influence at best. And so the more we can learn about ourselves, the more we can regulate ourselves, and we can lead our life with more intention and less regret. I want for you to find and recognize, identify what patterns and cycles you find yourself falling within, and then where they come from, and then how to accept and understand them, and then what to do about them. Your wants and your needs and what you do in order to achieve those are going to be vastly different things. So if you constantly find yourself within situations where your impact does not match your intention, this is the work that you need to do. If you find yourself getting defensive when people express complaints to you, this is the work that you need to do. If you're sick of your own shit, if you can't fucking stand yourself, if you're realizing that being different and changing something is less scary than staying the same, this is the work that you need to do. And fucking welcome. I am so happy that you're here. I am so fucking proud of you for being ready to take this inventory and do something different with it. I hope that you found this helpful. I hope that this has inspired you to do some work on yourself and become more self-aware. Hey, who knows? We spent a good long while in here, so I hope this planted a seed for you to be able to approach this work with hope and optimism and less dread and kind of just feeling so directionless. In our next episode, we'll go into the H in our shift, our healing from the bullshit, namely, and we'll go over, you know, more practical ways of being able to do that too and conceptualize that in a new and different way than we have before. As always, this is your empowerment, one shift at a time. Stay steady, and I'll see you next time.